Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Happy Thursday. Welcome into the One Buffalo studio here on MSG and WGR Sports Radio 550, the latter. Place of employment for one Paul Hamilton, beat writer, beat reporter for the Buffalo Sabres. In studio with us today, Ribs in the middle, myself in for Petey. Sabres Fan Fest coming up this weekend. Lots of alum in town. Ribs, big part of that. And current players, too. And, oh, when we speak of current players, we have Paul Hamilton to blame for the latest line game. So we will dive into that here.
Game?
Yeah.
What did I do? Well,
I don't know. What did you do, Hammer? I'll say this. I think I was able to tweak Mr. Rivet a little bit this morning.
I mean, you know what? What's exciting is, you know, we've talked about this so many times that you come in here, you play GM for the day, and you just start, you know, going on the whiteboard in the back, and you start building lines. And, you know, there's I built a line that I felt very comfortable with and very confident with and thought that, yeah, this looks pretty darn good. And then all of a sudden I look over my shoulder at yours and I'm like, I like your lines too. And then Paulie has his lines. And I mean, there's
he doesn't like my lines.
No, I actually think your lines are very solid also. They're all different.
I had to tweak them, though, because originally, because of all the signings, you know, Larson's here, Gergensen's here, right now Sobotka's here, and they haven't been able to trade Ristolainen. And a lot of that, as I wrote in my article, is because of restricted free agency. Yeah. It hasn't broken yet. So a lot of teams don't know what cap space they have available. And it's even affected unrestricted free agency. And Jake Gardner and Brian Boyle and, you know, some unrestricted free agents haven't signed yet either. So it's kind of weird to try to put lines together now because I think it might be different once September rolls around, once these restricted guys, I can't imagine them all holding out. I suppose they could, but I can't imagine them all holding out.
I think what's interesting on that topic is that more and more we are hearing players commenting, and whether it's their words or through their agent, but I'm going to say at least three, if not more, in the last week have said, I fully expect to have a deal in place by camp. Well, that typically would give teams more leverage, right? Because if you're adamant that you're going to be there, they're not going to change their offer, right?
Or it goes the other way.
Okay.
And the player is not signed by training camp, and now there's fan pressure, and people are saying, well, what is going on here? This is supposed to get done. Yeah. Why are you not paying this guy? He's an elite player on our team. So it works on both ends of the scale, for sure.
But nobody thought William Nylander would sit out as long as he did. We can go to the NFL. Nobody thought Le'Veon Bell would sit out a whole season, which he just did.
How'd that pan out?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, those types of things are now happening in sports and in hockey also with the Nylander. And I don't think that worked out real well for him either.
No, I don't think so either, which is why I think that these comments I do think are genuine from players, and I do think they expect to have deals done. I don't think they want to go down that path.
I don't think there's any of those teams want to go down that path.
Teams don't, and I don't
Colorado
think
certainly doesn't want to start their season without Mika Rantanen.
Right.
Tampa Bay doesn't want to start their season without Braden Point. Toronto certainly doesn't want to start their season without Marner. And Patrick Laine and Kyle Connor in Winnipeg. These are
Lorenzo
game.
And Columbus and Besser
Kachuk,
in Vancouver.
Besser, and Werenski. I mean, these are elite players. And they're game changers on their hockey team. They make their team and put their team at another level. Therefore, they are going to get paid top dollar. It's almost like you're waiting for somebody to set the market, set the bar. And I don't know, like, do GMs in the National Hockey League make multiple phone calls between each other to say, you know, are Julien Brisebois in Tampa Bay calling Dubas in Toronto saying, hey, so where are we at right now? Who, like, let's stay tight here. We're both in the same situation. We got great teams. Let's put a little pressure on these guys. Let's see if we can do. And are there discussions going on between the GMs?
They may call about something else, and the topic may come up.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, I think we'd be naive to think that conversations don't happen.
How's that work? Like, so you have you have the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Well, it doesn't go too deep, because if it does, then there's trouble. I think we all know that. No.
You know, like,
but who knows what one GM says to another, right? You know, on a telephone. It's not like they're recording the conversation.
Anyway,
what I started to say is that's what made making these lines so difficult. And the first lines I made, I didn't have Joki Aryu and I didn't have Olofsson. I go, wait a minute, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. I listened to your show, to Jason Bottrell. He brought up Joki Aryu probably 3 or 4 times. Glowing, talking about that is what they need, a defenseman that can get the puck out of the zone. Mm-hmm. He played in the NHL last year for, about half or a quarter of a season with the Chicago Blackhawks, did pretty well. And I go, judging by what I'm hearing here, I've got to put him in the lineup. And then I'm thinking, what are you doing not having Olofsson? I know they come up with, well, he's got to earn it and training camp and everything, but I think Olofsson is ready, and I, even though they've signed all these guys, Larson and Gergensons, and I said, I got to put them in the lineup. So I had to redo it. I go, I can't not have those two in the lineup, and that's what I came up with.
How many times have you redone it in the summer?
Oh, well, I actually not too many, because I refused to do it until now. Because I'm thinking, I don't think this is the final.
I forgot you were on the Rivs work schedule this summer.
Yeah. I even wrote that maybe Connor Sherry would be somebody to trade away.
Yeah.
You know, depending on what you can get. I don't think he was exactly what came as advertised. I don't think he came through. I think he's a perimeter type player. I think that's part of the problem with the Sabres. They had too many perimeter players. That's why they got VC, and they've talked about why they got VC, because he's willing to be in the areas where goals are scored. Mm-hmm. He's not a perimeter player.
Right.
So maybe Sherry would be expendable, for the right trade.
You know, it's interesting that I have a lineup in the back that I've had on the board for about a week now, which is pretty good. But I also put a line together today, which is a little bit different, because, for an example, in the lineup that I had originally, Tage Thompson wasn't in the lineup. Mm-hmm. He was. I foresee them, if he comes to camp and has an average okay camp, I think that he possibly could start in the minors. I think that he could be given a big role with big minutes to have him continue to develop and learn the game. And then if he starts to really take off in the minors, maybe in December they bring him up and say, all right, this guy's ready. He's gained the confidence. He's shown that he can play exceptionally well in the minors, and now you bring him up. But
isn't a big thing with Tage Thompson is how he shows up. What kind of work did you put in during the summer? Did you put the work in? Are you in better shape? Are you stronger? I mean, I think before they even hit the ice, you know, how he shows up to Buffalo, I think, is going to say
well,
a lot.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you this. He showed up to the rookie camp. You saw that, Paulie, right?
And
he looked pretty darn good.
He looked pretty darn good.
He looked stronger. He's the same age as a lot of those guys.
And
some of them were 18.
Then he's working a lot on his leg strength. That was something he was already doing.
I'll tell you right now, he doesn't need to work on his hands. Doesn't need to work on his shot. They're elite. He needed to work on just continuing as a big 6'5" man to continue to build his body. It's going to take a little bit longer than a guy that's 5'10", 5'11". He's 6'5". It's going to take longer to add mass onto that big frame. But I think that he looked fantastic, absolutely fantastic in the rookie camp. Now he's had a couple more months to build and continue to get stronger. I hope that he comes to camp. I'm a big fan of Tage Thompson. I said that last year, even when he was hitting posts and, you know, missing the net. I mean, I believe that this player moving forward, has a really, really good skill set. He's got a great mind for the game. He's got great hands and a great shot. He just needs to fill out and add that, you know, mature body to his package. So what I'm saying is, if he comes to training camp and he opens eyes, he will be in this lineup. There's no question about it. But there's also another player that's somewhat in the same boat. And the guy that I'm going to mention is Mittelstadt. Mittelstadt last year had a okay rookie season. He really got thrown into the fire because we didn't quite have that second line to help protect him. So he played some tough minutes against some tough lines last year and did okay. I just think that there's another level to his game, and it comes with maturity. It comes with being in better shape, being a little bit quicker, a little bit stronger. And I think coming into a second year, I believe that I'll be really interested to see where his game goes. We talk about Tage Thompson all the time with mental maturity and physical maturity. I think Casey Mittelstadt is in the same position. Is he going to be our third line center this year? Or has he pushed himself into being possibly a second line center on this team, but playing with maybe a player like
right now with what's on the roster, that's where he's got to be.
Mm-hmm.
He's number two on the depth chart, but don't lose sight of the fact too, it may not happen next year, and that doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
That's okay.
And I always use Nate McKinnon as the pointer, yeah. Couturier with the Flyers. Mm-hmm. Look how long it took them.
Yes. Yes.
Nate McKinnon didn't just come into the league and have 90 some odd points. Yeah. He had what, 50 or 60 points for 4 years.
Yep.
His fifth year is when he jumped into the 90s. Mm-hmm. And you know, there are players that, so don't get disgusted with Casey Mittelstadt if it doesn't even happen this year.
Yeah. What I'm trying to say is, when you look at my second line, it has to do with coming to training camp and earning your spot, not just a position on the team, but where you're going to play. Tage Thompson right now in my first lineup is not even in the lineup.
Mm-hmm. He was not on the fourth line.
I wouldn't have Tage Thompson
now,
on this team.
He should be
in the minors.
Okay, I'm good with that.
Right?
I'm good with that. But for some reason, their thought process with him is different than other young players. I don't know why, but that's why I think he'll be around. But originally, I didn't have Olsson here. As I told you, I thought to myself, no, he's got to be in the lineup. And that's what popped Thompson down.
Yeah.
Well, Paul Hamilton's in studio with us here on The Instigators on WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG. Paul's article on the website, WGR550.com, about the starting lineup. As we sit here in August, as we hit the midway point of the month. And I think what was, you know, what kind of stood out to me, we've seen so many projections and possibilities and variations and the like, but you stuck tried and true to last year's top line. Mm-hmm. And I don't think many people are doing that. Why?
Because it works well together. I'm the type of person, why break it up if it's working? Other people would say, but you got to distribute your scoring around. But Reinhardt works well with Eichel. It works well with Skinner. So that's the way I would start. And I would, you know, give Mittelstadt Johansson and see how that would work. The reason I stuck Vesey with Rodriguez is they spend the summer together. They're on the ice together. They have a familiarity. So I thought, well, why not let them start together and see what happens? You could flip Olsson and Sherry. I had Sherry with Mittelstadt and Johansson, Olsson with Rodriguez and VC. You could flip that either way. Reinhardt doesn't necessarily have to be an Eichel, but that was my thinking. Mm-hmm. It's worked.
Yeah.
I don't want to break that up. And I'd like to see if you've made some trades and signings to help your next two lines. Mm-hmm. Let's see if those trades and signings help get some production out of those lines.
Let me ask you this. Who was the hottest line for the Sabres last year?
They had so many. I don't know. Is that a trick question?
There was one line that particularly played together. That
Skinner,
was
Eichel, and Reinhardt?
Negative. That big three that you're talking about, that wasn't the hottest line
Olsson
together.
When he was up for six games, did very well?
It was Skinner, Eichel, and Jason Pominville.
Oh, that's right.
That line together. Now, here's the thing. You took two elite players, and you put a guy that could play and be a piece to the puzzle on that big boy line. Now you took Reinhardt, and you brought him down to the second line. Jason Pominville filled in and played exceptionally well with those two guys, and it became, for a couple weeks, one of the hottest lines in the National Hockey League, not just on our team, in the National Hockey League.
Who played right wing with Olsson and Eichel? Does anybody remember? Was it Reinhardt? And that, for the six games, I thought worked very well. Maybe you try that, but now Skinner's not with Eichel.
Yeah.
Now Skinner comes down. And
can I throw something at you? Because I really liked what he did, okay? And I'm pointing to my boy over here, the line maker. Duffer has Casey Mittelstadt with Skinner and Reinhardt.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's taken Jack Eichel, and he's somewhat given Jack Eichel the, as we say, the Sidney Crosby position of playing with players that Jack Eichel, doesn't matter who he's playing with, is going to make them better. So you could put Jimmy Vesey on the left-hand side, who's, okay, you shake your head.
If you're going to do that,
Olofsson. Yeah. Let's go Olofsson. Yeah. All right, now you're shaking your head. Okay, so Olofsson.
I have Olofsson.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Right? So you have Olofsson, you have Jack Eichel, and let's just say Tage Thompson comes into training camp, and he is just fantastic. And you put him with Jack Eichel. Now that top line with Thompson, Olofsson, and Jack Eichel is a very, very good line. Your second line is outstanding with Skinner, Mittelstadt, and Reinhardt. I mean, now you have two extremely good lines, but then you move down even further. Jimmy Vesey playing with Rodriguez and Johansson. Those are three exceptionally good lines as far as I'm concerned. And you start to put Jack in a position that Pittsburgh Penguins put Sidney Crosby in for years and years. Mm-hmm. He had this revolving door of a kid coming from the minors.
Right.
And this kid coming from the minors ended up scoring goals all the time.
Yeah.
And you're saying, who is this kid? I've never even heard of him, you know? And that's what the best players in the game do, the elite players. And it's just going to be interesting to see if they really try and balance the lines. Because there is, for the first time in a very, very long time, there is enough talent on this team where I think that you can spread it out and really have depth throughout your lines.
Not yet.
We're moving in the right direction.
But yes,
let me tell you, you're moving in the right direction. Let's just say at the end of the year, we did what we talked about. Tage Thompson playing on the first line with Olofsson. Well, what happens if Olofsson goes and scores 30 goals with Jack Eichel and Tage Thompson scores 24? And let's say your second line, Mittelstadt, goes from a 21-point rookie season to a 55-point season playing with Skinner, and Skinner scores 33 and Reinhardt scores 65, 70 points again. Now all of a sudden you're saying, wow, this is amazing. You have Rodriguez, who's put in a good position on a third line. He's skilled, he's fast, he can kill penalties. Now you have a Jimmy Vesey who is given a little bit more opportunity, maybe power play, and he's got the even strength. Now you start to think to yourself, wow, these lines, we're getting production from not just one line, but we're getting production from three lines.
Right, and I think the big wild card in all of this, and speaks to Paul's reluctance to, and presumably the reluctance of many to buy in fully that they are where they need to be talent-wise, is that there are trade chips still available to be played, which can then add to the group. Now, your hypothetical was interesting in that Thompson comes up at camp, plays well, earns a spot high up in the lineup. I took the cautious approach, despite putting Jack on his own island, if you will, having Olofsson with Eichel. And this is, you know, this is what, 5 weeks removed from the last time we did this exercise on this show, when I got somewhat crucified for leaving a question mark on line two because I didn't see the second line center in place. Olofsson, Eichel, Johansson, to me, is more realistic. It gives Jack a veteran presence to help bring Olofsson along. And one would think that if Johansson was fortunate enough to play high up in the lineup, that he could also return to 50-point form like he had with the Washington Capitals. So, again, is that trio, and again, it's a huge if, is that trio going to have top-line numbers across the board like it did last year with Reinhart and Skinner? Perhaps not. The power play can always inflate the individual statistics back to a more normal level.
Well, isn't Olsson your wild card there, though? He could have 12 goals, he could have 25 goals, for all we know.
But I do think there's people that would still be married to your idea of leave well enough alone and leave Skinner with Eichel and Reinhart so we at least know what we have in that regard. So I'm giving Jack a daunting challenge here of having two new line mates, but I believe in Jack and I believe in his skill set. Otherwise, I wouldn't come up with this hypothetical, even though it was kind of crafted in the last hour right before the show with little regard for anything else because we're here and that's what we do.
Do we know what we're getting out of Skinner and Reinhart? Do you know their game?
What I want to get out of Skinner and Reinhart, which is the purpose of this exercise, is to find a way. If you're not changing the roster, i.e. adding another top six, more likely to be a center than a wing, which then means a lot of pressure, unfortunately, falls on Casey Mittelstadt in year two. I would want to give Casey the best opportunity to put up numbers that aren't going to have people trying to tear him down all year long. Yeah. So if he does, you said it, 55 points. If he gets to 50 to 55 points because of line mates like Skinner and Reinhart, then you have done something.
Does Casey Mittelstadt have the hockey IQ to do that? Does he have the hockey IQ to do it?
I don't think we know yet.
I think he does.
I think he does. That's why he was drafted where he was.
Darn, too.
That's why he's won the awards.
He was also drafted, what, eighth or seventh? Eighth.
But you don't know yet because he hasn't proven it in the NHL.
I get that. Yeah. I get that. But you know what? I mean, I can name you 50 players that started off in their rookie year.
And I'm not giving up on him or anything like that. I'm the one who's saying don't give up on this kid.
Yeah. I'm just saying there's 50 players out there that struggled in their rookie years, and all of a sudden they're superstars and Hall of Famers at the end of their career.
Hardest thing for a coach, and look, it starts with the GM because the GM tries to enable the coach to be able to do this. But as they work together, the hardest thing to follow through on, from my standpoint, for any coach management tandem is putting players in a position to succeed. You want to do it as a group, right? But if you're just going to isolate one guy that could be very critical to your group's future, and if you still believe in him, which I firmly believe they do, then try to put Casey Mittelstadt in a position to succeed. And yes, he has to come in ready and inviting that challenge himself, right? But if you surround him with arguably the best proven wingers on this team in Skinner and Reinhart, then it would be hard to argue that you haven't put him in a position to succeed. And then let the chips fall where they may, you know? I mean, you were a little ruffled again the other day because you don't like the constant line changes. At least that's how they appear to you. Okay, so let's
coaches do that?
Of course they do. Yeah. I mean, it's just the nature of the game. You know why? Because the other team's trying too, and your best.
Do most coaches do that?
Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
What, change lines all the time?
Yeah.
No way.
Every coach since Lindy Ruff has done it here.
Oh, well, you're talking to here in Buffalo.
Anywhere.
I'm just talking around the league.
But that's a lot of coaches. And Lindy Ruff used to get raked for it, and Bylsma used to get raked for it. Housley used to get raked for it. Every coach does it.
I'm just talking around the league. I'm talking, you know. I just look at Toronto. Toronto, they somewhat had the same lines. In Winnipeg, they had the same lines. And Tampa Bay has the same lines.
They shuffled their lines.
They sparingly. Wheeler and Shifley played together
all year long.
Exactly.
Not lines, pairs.
But the players that went into playing with Shifley and Wheeler were not nine different players. There was either Patrick Laine played a couple games, and then there was Kyle Connor that played a bunch of games. But it wasn't, you know, every single player, Lowry and Perreault and, you know what I'm saying? Like,
because they also have better players.
Right. But Paul's comment
when you have just a bunch of players coming up from Rochester all the time and everything, You're just going to basically throw them in a hat.
Your comment is more to the point, which is don't think of this as lines. Think about establishing pairings and then working off of that. So, again, if he's in the position to warrant this opportunity. Give Casey Mittelstadt, Skinner, and Reinhardt to start. If a pairing emerges from that trio, you can then move forward and relocate Reinhardt to Jack. Relocate Skinner to Jack. Find what works as a pairing, because that's what typically drives a line. And then again, how does it have a trickle-down effect? So I'm all for it. I mean, look, Skinner's first points, I believe first goal, happened in Arizona last year playing with Casey Mittelstadt. Then it changed as the trip went on. So
because Sherry started with Eichel.
Exactly. So there's things that happen, obviously, multiple changes throughout the course of a season. But I liked what we were toying with when we did it, simply because, and again, once you got to the third line, all of a sudden you felt like, for all the talk from Jason Botterill this summer about adding to the top nine, this today really resonated more to me. Like, oh, the top nine looks a little deeper if you can put VC and or Johansson and or Sherry around Erod, who again is being talked more as a center. Put him in a position to succeed. Put him with guys that have scored 5-on-5 goals in the NHL.
So you're going to tell me that Rodriguez this year is not going to come to the rink and go, where am I playing today? Am I playing left wing on the first line, second line, third line, fourth line, right wing, center? Where am I playing? Mm-hmm. He's going to have a role on this team.
Right.
He's going to know that he's going to be playing center.
Going back to that interview, that's what Botterill said. He goes, our centers are Eichel, Mittelstadt, and Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. He said it perfect right to you guys.
Yeah. Perfect.
So that to me then...
Clarity again, for a player... To understand his role on this team.
And this doesn't, again, these are projections, and every offseason is filled with hope.
And by the second period of the first game,
anything can happen,
if
right?
If you're down 2-0, all of a sudden it all changes.
And that's coach's
it's
right.
Like, for example, last year, Tage Thompson had an opportunity to play with Jack Eichel.
In Carolina,
with Jeff Skinner. How long did it last?
Less than two periods, as I recall. Yeah,
it's right. Like a period and a half. I'm like... How is this kid who has a great shot, great skill set, and is looking to gain confidence in his game? You give, I think it was 5 shifts he played with Jack and Skinner.
When they gave up, what, 2 or 3 goals against?
Yeah, it didn't go well at all.
It was tough.
I mean, it didn't go
well. Canes were rolling.
You have to allow. You can't give a period and a half and say that, oh, that didn't work.
Right.
You have to allow. For some chemistry to build together. And it's, I mean, last year, the last couple years, a number of years, it's just been a roll of the dice because it's almost like they didn't quite have the players. So they were just constantly trying to find chemistry that just was never going to be there.
But they're behind a lot too in the last 4 or 5 years. When you're behind... Mm-hmm. You switch lines. It's like, we're down 3-1, or we're down 3-0, we're down 2-0. We're not scoring. We're going to switch it up here, see if we can find fire somewhere.
But I think that again, it remains to be seen, because we've not seen Ralph Kruger up close for an 82-game season. But I'm going to guess that we're going to see more patience in that regard from Ralph, but I'm also going to believe that there's some interesting creativity that we're going to see from him too. Let's face it. The numbers may still bear out at the end of the day that the team that scores first can go on to have a pretty significant winning percentage, but we all know the game is not the game of the 90s. The first goal, or falling behind 2-1, or falling behind 3-1 and 4-1 is not what it used to be. There is no there's no big red panic button anymore. There's no need for it in the NHL. The opportunity to come back exists every single shift. And that's why you want to, you know, be a little more patient with some of the pairings. You're the igniter here on The Instigator. Thank you for presenting that on WGR's website this week, because guess what? We're at the end of segment number one, and we still haven't touched the fourth line and the D, so we will do that as we come back here on The Instigators with Paul Hamilton and Craig Reve. I'm Brian Duff. Hit us up at The Instigators on Twitter, at Craig Reve 52, at PHAM1717, and at Duffer Sabres. Stay with us on WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business.
From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back. Appreciate the responses on Twitter to the ongoing discussion. Ongoing discussion. It will never, ever, ever stop. That's the beauty of the game. And we didn't even come close to talking about the number of players that could still be vying for spots on the fourth line and or just staying on the roster, quite frankly, right? Like you want to be one of those guys that at least has a chance to be on the fourth line on a nightly basis. And quick thought. Tom suggested Johansson on the left with Mittelstadt for his puck-carrying ability, which he is very good at.
That's where I have him.
Is that where you had him? Mm-hmm. You had Johansson with Mittelstadt and
Sherry.
And Sherry, yeah. Well, again, so much of this boils down to that initial impression when you arrive at camp. What are you positioned to do physically? How are you mentally ready for this challenge ahead? With this, again, new regime as far as the coaching staff is concerned. Now, again, Hammy is largely responsible for today's discussion based on his article posted at WGR.
I wasn't even here. Yeah, yeah.
Your presence is felt, Paul, no matter where you may be writing from. And then Rivs and I just had a little fun this morning because he had been, you know, putting down his immaculate penmanship once again and basically daring me to come up with another combination of lines. So I went bold, bolder than before, no question. My fourth line is bolder. I promise you, my fourth line is bolder than either.
Oh, mine's boring. Your,
is it?
And I
do we want to start with boredom or bold?
I can see where Rivs is coming with mine, but yeah, you can go if you want.
I'm going CJ Smith, Rasmus Asplund, and Kyle Opozo.
How are you going to get him on the roster?
What do you mean, how do I get him on the roster?
Where are you going with everybody else? You got way too many.
What do we do with
I've got five lines and Wilson.
It's not my worry.
Opozo, Larson, Thompson. Those are my fourth and fifth lines.
Not my worry.
Yeah, but you got – yeah, it has to. But if you're going to do a lineup, you have to find places for other players. They just don't disappear.
They go on waivers and go down to the minors.
You can only have so many veterans in Rochester.
Nope.
Veterans that can play.
Exactly.
But they're not going to put 11 veterans down there for six spots to play.
Why not?
Because they're not going to.
It's about competition. I'm saying if C.J. Smith looks better than Girgensons or Larson, then I would like to see C.J. Smith on the team.
And I agree with you that if you earn the spot, you should get it, but that's not the reality. Guys that can go down to Rochester.
I think we're in a whole new reality. That's my belief.
So what I'm saying, what you're saying is C.J. Smith comes to training camp, plays exceptionally well. He's going to be on the fourth line. He's going to be a fourth line left winger.
I think he'll be in the competition for any opportunity that presents itself on the left side.
I just think that there's so many players on the forward line right now currently that we have that it's going to be extremely difficult to bring up players like C.J. Smith or Rasmus Asplund.
That's why I wasn't for signing Larson and Girgensons because it stifles players like you're talking about.
Or you're making
is Asplund ready now?
I don't think he is.
He started slowly in the minors, which is okay. Finished really strong. Had 40 points, I think, in the minors. you would think that him coming into his second year in pro hockey, he's going to make – No.
Sixth year pro.
Stop.
21
We're not
years
talking
of age.
About Swedish Elite League. I mean,
you've used
different.
It before.
Yes,
don't pick your spots to use whether it's
I
pro
will
or not.
Pick my spots when I want to pick my spots.
It's a pro league. He is more experienced than any 21-year-old
in
the organization.
So I would
and
expect
I'm also,
him in
again,
his
this
second
is a
year.
Hypothetical, and this is what I would want to see because I want to see change. I want to see guys winning spots. I'm not saying this is how it's going to look. I'm saying I want to see guys earn spots. And
I agree with you
100%. Of the chips fall where they may.
That's why some of the signings puzzled me, because I'd like to see change and I'd like to see some spots open up for some youngsters.
And
now with those signings,
we're
those
all
spots
agreeing
don't
on
open
that.
Up.
But
I'm
there's a
I don't want to see them opened up.
Signed.
I want to see them earned. Like, don't tell me that, you know, just because you didn't sign Larson's or you didn't sign Gergensen's that there's spots open. Actually, in this case, I want to see what this does to guys. Because of everything you
Listen,
just said.
I mean,
there are so many guys, then I just want to see an all-out fierce competition to actually
There's a reason
win
why
spots.
Gergensen and Larson were re-signed.
Yes.
I was surprised. I would like to see change. They were re-signed because they obviously feel that, number one, C.J. Smith is not a fourth-line player. If he's going to play in the National Hockey League, he should be in the top nine. That's number one. Number two, Rasmus Asplund is a very, very good player and getting better, but he's not ready for an NHL position. That's probably
Presumably.
Why they signed those guys to one-year deal,
right.
to make sure that they develop these guys properly. I have,
Understood.
For an example, Tage Thompson could be playing in this lineup, or he might be in the minors.
Mm-hmm.
He might be in the minors for a number of, for half a year for him to continue to push and get better, and then they might bring him up in the second part of the year. I don't know. It's going to depend on how he comes to training camp and if he takes a position and earns that. You know, we don't know where Casey Mittelstadt is. Are we going to get
right.
Casey Mittelstadt that, you know, needs a little bit needs to be in a little bit better shape. I think he needs to be you know, a little bit stronger, a little bit quicker. What are we going to get from Casey Mittelstadt in his second year coming to the Buffalo Sabres? These are all question marks with very young players. But the other guys that you're talking about, I mean, we already have our fourth line guys, Sobotka, Larson, Gergensen, players of that nature. I feel Wilson, those are fourth line players. They know they're defensively responsible. They're a little bit more physical.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah.
But you also said three critical words there. We don't know.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. And
it's going to be very competitive. This,
right.
This training
That's what
camp
I want.
In
That's
particular.
All I want. That's all I want.
I mean,
and I do love that, you know, and as much as people might be wondering why certain players did come back on one-year deals, at the very least, this roster has so many players on expiring contracts that historically that can be a very, very, very helpful, motivating tool for all individual players, which can lead to better team results. You're, if yep. you're playing for your existence, you better be playing to your potential.
Yeah. So we just sit here and we talk about competitive, being in a competitive environment, almost hungry. Will Borgen came to training camp last year for
right.
the first time and was just, wow, this is amazing. I'm in an NHL training camp. This is awesome. He had a nice season in the minors. He's not coming to training camp this year looking at everybody else going, wow, look at this person, look at that person. He's coming here to earn a job.
Right.
He's a big, physical, strong, very good skating defenseman, mm-hmm. but he's got to try and get past Montour, Ristolainen, Miller, Nelson, Jokiharju, Dahlin, McCabe, Scandella, Pilot. Now I know a few guys are going to be on IR at the start of the season, but I mean, there's players like Borgen are coming to training camp to earn a position. There's guys like Jokiharju, who Jason Bottrell mentioned a few times in particular in his discussions with PD and I, that this young guy wants to earn an NHL position. There's going to be a lot of guys fighting for spots. Do you think Scandella is going to come to training camp and say, hey guys, here's my job. Mm-hmm. I'm done. Yeah. No, he's coming. He knows he's a good player. He knows that he's on a one-year deal. I expect Scandella to come here and really, really look good and have a good training camp. I expect that. There's going to be a lot of competition across the board with this team. And there's nothing better when you have players that are really uncomfortable coming to training camp. That's when you're going to have fireworks.
Yeah.
That's when I like to watch. When you have guys that are very uncomfortable with not only being on the team, but not knowing where you're playing. Do you mm-hmm. think Kalaposo's coming here making $6 million and saying, hey, guys, I'm good with being the fourth line right winger. I'm good.
Yeah.
No. He wants to come. I can guarantee you he's going to be ready to rock and roll to take a top line position again. So it's going to be an incredible environment down there this year. It's not going to be, as I say, cupcakes and candy corn and unicorns and this and that and the other. It's going to be a battle.
Let's dive into the six on the blue line, as they could be on opening night. Obviously, injuries get in the way. I'm glad you mentioned Will Borgen. He was the biggest struggle for me because I was really trying to get him in there based on injuries, and we'll see how it shakes out. Hammer, again, back to your article at WGR550.com this week. Projecting from here in the middle of August, who's your six?
I don't necessarily think Ristolainen is going to be here, but he's here right now.
Okay.
So he's in my lineup because he's here right now. I had Dahlin and Ristolainen. I had McCabe and Miller, and I had Montour moving to the left with Joki Aho, and that was because of the conversation Botchel had with you guys. I did not originally have him there,
mm-hmm.
but it just sounds to me like he is going to be on this team. And then the battle for the number seven spot would be between Scandella and Nelson. Who probably Scandella would get it, and they would have to find a place for Nelson. Pilot, Bogosian, and Hunwick would be on injured reserve to start the season, at least I would guess for a month, but I'm not a doctor. Who knows? But
what have you been doing these last off seasons? So many players go back to college in the off season.
I know.
Come on.
I could have gone back.
Get your degrees, man.
And been the doctor. So I'm excited about Joki Aho. I've heard a lot of good things
exciting.
About him, and he is what Botrel was talking about, if that's the way he shows up. And mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie to you and say I remember too much of him as a Blackhawk. It wasn't really on my radar. But I've, talking to people, I've heard a lot of good things about him.
Yep.
And
had a pretty nice year on the world stage.
And especially the mobile, get the puck out.
Yeah.
Because they spend way too much time in their own end. Mm-hmm. They know it. And they've got to find guys, and they think they've found one in him. Mm-hmm. So that's why I have him in the top six and moved him there.
Rivs, what do you got for six?
My six are Dahlin and Montour are going to play together. I think that they played exceptionally well together at the end of the year last year. And I just...
Me too, buddy.
I love the idea and love the understanding that you have two extremely fluent puck-moving skating defensemen that can really read off each other because they're on the same page hockey IQ-wise. So I have those two playing together. I have Ristolainen and McCabe. Obviously, McCabe wanting to come to camp, having a great year, been a little banged up the last couple years. You're looking for him to kind of stay healthy, and Ristolainen being his defense partner. My third pairing is Scandella and Miller. Scandella, I would like to see Scandella have an opportunity to really get back his game and have him understand. And I think he understands that if you put him in the right position, I think he will have success. When you take a fourth line left winger and ask him to play first line minutes and mm-hmm. produce, that's when things go wrong. So Scandella, the last couple years since he's been here, has been put in a position not in the right position. He's been a top pairing defenseman with Ristolainen. It did not work. Get him back on the third line pair. Get him back playing 15 to 17 minutes a night, killing penalties, blocking shots. You saw him have the ability to jump up and rush and score a couple goals joining the rush. I like this player, and I think him and Miller as your third pair could be very good. That being said, if Ristolainen is not here at the start of the year, now I'm keeping Dahlin and Montour together still. I have McCabe and I would have Miller mm-hmm. go up with McCabe, and I'd have Scandella with either Jokiharju or Will Borgen.
I don't think Borgen's ready yet. I think he still needs time in Rochester.
Again, we don't know. That we is will the big find question. Out. We will find we will out. Those find are out. Other words of importance.
And I'm very encouraged by him. I like his game.
Yeah.
I just think
I like his game a lot.
He could use a little more time in Rochester.
I opted, again, because we're allowed to omit Ristolainen based on potential for a deal. So I was the same as you, Rivs, 26 and 62. That's Dahlin and Montour. Had McCabe with Miller and then Scandella and Jokiharju. Rounding it out, again, based on the absence of Bogosian and Pilot at the start of the year due to injury. How much does Will Borgen push in that situation? Hunwick, obviously, in that likely or possibly injured situation. And,
I'll tell you this,
and again, it's
– That defense core – is pretty darn impressive.
Well, and I'm glad you said, both of you, what you said about Scandella. Again, how many times have we had the topic, even just this week, okay, was this guy miscast? Was this guy misused? It's all about building the depth, enhancing your talent level overall as a team, putting guys in a position to succeed as opposed yes, to wearing them down. And I agree. On an expiring contract, I could certainly see Marco Scandella being in a good position on a third pair. But
and he's going to play against the third and fourth lines instead of the first and second, mm-hmm. and he'll be in a position where I think he'll be able to succeed. He is a good hockey player.
Right.
When we got him from Minnesota, everybody was very, very pleased with that move. Mm-hmm. It did not quite work out because we put him in a role that he was not able to sustain.
Right.
But now if you get him in a role – because the top four guys ahead of him are pretty darn good. You put him in a role where he's now playing against the third and fourth lines on other teams. I think he'll do very, very well for this team.
Remember Josh Georges, same thing. They used to they started him in that top role
yeah.
out there 20, 25 minutes a game.
With Risto
it was
a lot,
tough
right?
with him.
Yeah. Was he not?
Fans, yeah. Yep. Fans would crucify him. Fans started to hate him. And then his last year or two here in Buffalo, they finally put him down in the third pair, and mm-hmm. you didn't even hear from him.
Yep.
He was very solid.
Listen, every player has limitations, right?
He did what he was supposed to do. Yeah. He wasn't playing too much.
Yeah.
He wasn't out there against the top guys. And I thought, as a third pair guy, 15 to 17 minutes a game, I thought he was solid at the end because now you put
that's
him
right.
in a situation to succeed.
That's right.
mm-hmm.
And that's what I see in Scandella. It's almost like it was exactly the same thing that happened yeah. to him.
All right, take a quick time out. Come back with a little more here to wrap up hour number one of the Instigators on WGR, Sports Radio 550 and MSG. Great to have Hammer in studio with us today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hockey talk. That hits. This is the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
Big discussion on lines and pairings as per usual. It is the continuation of the offseason, of course. Just a few minutes to go in hour one of the Instigators. Brian Duff along with Paul Hamilton, Craig Rabe today. Hour two, we'll dive into FanFest a little more, which happens on Saturday down at Alumni Plaza at KeyBank Center. I'm going to play a little name association, word association game with the boys. Mention a name of a Sabre alumni and get a first impression or story that comes to mind when you hear a name like that from the Sabres of the past. So we'll do that in hour number two, but rapid fire here before we round up the first hour. Of all the names we have bandied about, forward, D, we didn't really touch on goaltending because it's really not a talking point at this point in time. Give me the most unlikely, no, well, give me the most unlikely in Europe. No, that's not, that sounds too negative. Who would be the biggest surprise out of all the young players to emerge on the roster opening night? We may have talked about him. We may not have talked about him.
Borgen.
Yeah?
I just don't think he's quite ready, and I think a lot of him. But with the D that's there, because I'm bringing it up because he was talked about as maybe making the team.
But you're still hesitant. I guess I'm saying give me a name that has a chance to go out and earn it and get a spot opening night.
Oh, that would be Smith, I would think.
Yeah?
CJ Smith.
Really? Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. Clock's ticking, Revs.
I don't know. I think right now there's some bubble players in Joki Haru, Will Borgen on defense are going to be going to training camp this year to earn spots, and they are two guys that are in the fold. Forward lines, I think Tage Thompson has, you know, that he has a lot to prove this year. I don't think he's guaranteed a spot opening lineup. CJ Smith is another player that, you know, had a nice first season in the minors.
Two seasons in the minors.
Looking to make the jump. You know, tons of speed, ability to really, really push the pace. He's going to be a guy that's going to want to make some noise in a very crowded forward line currently right now. So.
And he was an all-situations player for Chris Taylor in Rochester too, which when there was a little hesitation slash reservation when I brought him up earlier as far as a fourth liner, I think he's learned to play a lot of the, you know, the harder minutes, if you will, than what, you know, typically a college standout might have had to endure during, you know, the glory days when you're always counted on for offense. I think there's been an awful lot handed to him from Chris Taylor as far as responsibility, which, again, is all part of development.
And as far as young guys go, for anyone who's out there listening, just a little update from the Da Beauty League in Boston.
Oh, God.
It's a hat trick, folks.
It's in Minnesota.
Is it Minnesota? Boston, Minnesota, same thing to me, right?
You can do the update.
But I'll tell you this, that it's some good hockey. They're all NHL guys, and Casey Mittelstadt had his third of the game, barred down last night.
All right, for that on social media. It is readily available.
He's going to score 30.
He'll be in Buffalo, won't he?
He's going to score 35 this year, eh? You know that, eh?
I can tell. Just by the confidence with which you're speaking.
I'm telling you.
We're back for hour number two of the Instigators right after this. Paul Hamilton, Craig Revey, Brian Duff on MSG and WGR Sports Radio 550. Stay with us.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.